Yeah, 1 Corinthians 3. Remember that Paul wrote to this church? Corinth was almost like the Las Vegas of their day, okay? And that also impacted their city, also, in the sense that there was a lot of sin in that city, even the reputation among the Greeks and Romans. This was a city where a lot of wild sin happens, okay? So 1 Corinthians 3, why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians was also, there was a problem of what? People competing with one another. And not only competing, but they also look at the different leaders and say, oh, I like this guy, I don't like that guy. But they did it more out of a spirit of competition. Okay, so you kind of see that in verses 5. Do you guys see? Verses 4 and 5, where Paul says, hey, you guys are saying some are of Paul, some of Apollos. Apollos elsewhere, if you look at Acts 18, you guys don't have to turn there, was a young man who spoke really, really what? Well, okay. So then some would, and then Paul says, hey, who are these guys to you? Each one of them are what? Really servants, okay? So I'm looking at this today just to encourage us that when we serve God, we want to think what? Rightly of serving God the right way. And the first point we see is even here, if you read the Bible, God used Paul very great, right? Very powerful. We're reading on Sunday through Ephesians, written by Paul. If you guys know the story of Paul, right? He was what? A person that persecuted Christians, and then what happened? He changed, right? His life, God turned him around miraculously. He saw a light and everything else, saw Jesus Christ, and then changed his life following the Lord, okay? But yet, in light of all this, I like what it says. Paul wants us to think of them, what? Humbly, right? These guys are so busy saying, oh, I like this. Just like today, do Christians sometimes say, oh, I like this pastor better, he speaks better? Oh, I like that one or this and that. But Paul reminds us, hey, we shouldn't be so prideful because the first point you see is when we serve God, we're all servants. You guys see verse 5? Who then is Apollos? Who is Paul? What did it say? The word is what? Servants. You guys see that? The word is servants. Okay? And when you look here, Paul then is going to give an analogy, two analogies, okay? Two pictures, two illustrations of what it is like of us serving leaders as servants or even servants of the church, okay? The first one is what? Verses 5 to 7. What does he draw the analogy of? Actually, verses 5 to 9. What is the analogy of in terms of people that serve God in the church and also the church itself? What's the analogy that he drew? Actually, verses 6 to 9. Anyone?
Like a plant.
Okay, so he's using agricultural what? Imagery. Okay. Then there's a second imagery in verses, second half of verse 9 onwards. Verses 9 to 15. What's the next imagery?
Like building something.
Yeah, building. Okay. So it's architectural analogy. Okay. So the way to memorize our point today is agricultural and architectural. Okay. With that. So I think this is important as we see this. Then we kind of see more of how does God use us in serving in the church, okay? In terms of this, okay? Now remember, these guys, the reason why Paul has to go over this is because the church right now is going through a lot of division. Okay, people are saying, oh, I follow this guy. Oh, you like that pastor? No, I like this pastor. But they're not really saying because the pastor really has problems or leaders have problems. They're really doing it to what? Because they're just only merely out of what? Preference, okay? So we need to have a right perspective of service to God. We need to have a right perspective of even those that serve in the church also as well, okay? And also, even for us, when we serve God, I hope we do serve the Lord, right, in our church. This is the way we view how we are part of the church, okay? So in line, the first one, let's look at the agricultural part. The agricultural part is, notice when he talks about the agriculture of planting, he describes how each one that serves God do what? Different things, okay? Apollos, what did he do according to verse 6? What imagery did he do? Now he's talked about plant and agriculture. But what did Apollos do according to verse 6? Yeah, he watered, okay? What did Paul do? He planted, okay? So I think that's important to realize too. That in all of this, each one of us have a role to play Each one has a role in serving God in a different way. Okay, so each person's role might not be the same. Okay, but in the end, the one that's most important is God, because what? God is the one who works through them. Because it goes on in verse 6, says, it's but God who caused what? The plant to grow, right? It's God that causes the plant to grow. And then he's going to explain this a little bit more in verses 7, okay? Verses 7, so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters anything, but God causes the growth, okay? So that means we should be what? More humble, okay? Now, it is important for someone to plant the plant, okay? It is important for someone to water the plant. But in the end, the one that really is working through all that is who? It is God who gets the full credit, okay? Because in verses 7, it makes it very clear. The one who plants and the one who waters is not anything we should count. And by the way, in fact, it shows that they actually need each other. Does that make sense? The one who plants the seed is also plays an important role, but also the one who waters. But then when he says here, then you might say, hey, how come Paul says none of those are anything? That's because compared to God, what God does the most amazing role, okay? A few years ago, Rebecca and Abigail, we were doing homeschool. You guys remember we did plants? We did learning about plants. What do you guys remember about plants? Was it pretty amazing to learn about different parts of plants?
Like the little winding sections of
red. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm actually amazed how a plant works. I'm sure this is, you guys remember when you guys were younger studying plants, right? How does plant make their food? You guys remember? They're not like us. We eat an animal.
They use the chlorophyll.
How? What does chlorophyll do?
It's kind of sugar.
Yeah, how does it all work? Where do they get the...
They just get, draw water from the roots.
Yeah, the roots.
Get the sunlight from...
Yeah, the sunlight, yeah, okay.
And then they combine the water and air.
Yeah, and then they make some kind of sugar, or basically the food nutrient, right? Yeah. Which to me is so amazing, right? Like, plant is like, wow, like, it makes its own food from light and from water and the nutrients and it's absorbing, which then later is so important for what? Everything else, okay? Some of us might not think importantly of plants, but then you would say, oh, I don't eat vegetables, right? You guys ever meet anyone? Now, right now I have a friend who, I don't think it's, I won't say this because this is recorded. I know somebody who only believes in eating meat, okay? Do you think that might be a problem? I think so, eventually. But then some of us might say, oh, I don't care about vegetables. But guess what? You can't say it's not important at all, because what? Even the cows you eat, what do they eat for their meal?
Vegetables.
Yeah, right? You might say, oh, I don't need to ever see the sun again. But even your house is made out of what? Wood that's from the
sun,
and all of that, right? And vegetables. So here we see, in comparison, all that what God does is so much more amazing than what we do, okay? So it's kind of strange to go to God to brag. Hey, God, you really need me to water and plant when we could be replaced when he does the great miracle compared to what he has done. Does that make sense? It's almost like going, if you know someone that, let's just say, plays guitar really well, and then you go brag and say, hey, I finally figure out what's G. Hey, am I not so good, right? I don't know what strings. And then that's almost like, oh, do you really want to brag? Even if that person say, oh, that's good, that's trying to encourage you, right? But in comparison, we're nothing compared to what God does in the church, okay? So the first part we see here is, when serving God, we must have humility. Because verse 5, remember, it says we're servant. And verses 6 and 7 shows that compared to what God does, our role is actually very, what? Important, but actually not as amazing compared to what God does himself, okay? And so, should we serve God humbly also as well?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And sometimes some people could serve to God because they serve things in church so that they could say, hey guys, look at me. Other people, look how much I'm doing. But the first part we need to do is realize we need to be humble, okay? So then in verses 8, it says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. I love this because now it shows what? Earlier, you might think, oh, when Jesus says, when Paul says, hey, no, watering and planting is not important compared to God, he doesn't mean that God doesn't care at all. But do you see what happened? He says, whatever you do, it might be different compared to others, but God will reward you. Do you see that? Verses 8. Okay? So even with serving God, you have your reward. Some of those rewards might not be here now, okay? But it's already, it will be in the future, okay? What I think is so amazing is because of our sin, we don't deserve anything good. But yet, after God saves us, He still wants to bless us by even rewarding us by what? By serving Him. Does that make sense? So that's the first imagery He has, is agriculture. Then now He's going to give another imagery. Actually, before we move on, let me ask you guys first. Who is the plant? So if the one who plants and the one who waters represents the servants of God, who does the plant represent? Good. We are, in a sense, it's a church, right? It's a church because earlier, remember, they're arguing about Apollos and Paul who serve them, who minister in the church. So we are the plants, okay? But then also we could be switched to when we're serving. This is right later on, Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, if you know your Bible, he'll talk about every one of us serve too. So it's not just only pastors and leaders, okay? And each one of our role is different, okay? With that. So now he's going to go with the same analogy, the same kind of principle, but now he's going to give it with architecture, okay? Verses 10. Caleb, could I have you read that again?
Verse 10. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. So each man must be careful how he builds on it.
Okay, yeah. So sorry, I'm just skipping verses today. Verses 9 first, right? It goes on, we are God's fellow workers, right? Then he says, you are God's field. Remember, so that's how we interpret it, what Paul interprets correctly, of what Paul wrote. Okay, but now it says we're also God's what? Building. And then what you read earlier, Caleb, now it's saying, okay, if the church is like the building, if actually the people is like the building, now he's going to say, hey, we're also in the church when we're serving God, we're like those who are building up the church, okay? So, who's a wise master builder?
Jesus Christ.
I know. Ultimately, it's God. But also, by master builder is the one that laid down the foundation. Here, he's saying, I. That is Paul. Okay. You guys know what foundation means? What is foundation from the building? What's the foundation? Part of the building. Do we see it? Do we always see it? No, right? But it's very, very important. Okay. Mm-hmm. By the way, I think one thing we could learn from this is also sometimes the things we serve for God might be so foundational that people take it for granted, right? It's like foundation is what underneath that holds it, everything what? Firm. It's not on shaky ground, right? All that, okay? So verses 10, he says what? That he laid the foundation and then other people are what? Building on it, okay? But then he gives this rule. Each man must be careful how he what? Builds on it, okay? So I think we get another principle in verses 10 is not only should we be humble as one point, and then number two we saw earlier is we will be rewarded. By the way, in this section, architect, there will be some repeat. But then we see something else. We must be very what? Careful in how we serve God, okay? Paul, is the foundation already been laid down? Yeah, it's by Paul and the other apostles. Those guys that wrote the Bible laid the foundation, okay? When you build a building, you can't just build a house here and then you build part of the house somewhere else. No, it has to be built upon what? Based upon God's word, with a foundation on Christ. Okay. So you must be very, very careful how He builds it. Even today, when people build a building or when you fix your house, some of your parents, right, with the houses, when they fix something, do they have to go down to the city to get a permit sometime? Yes, okay. So why is that they have that? Is to make sure it's built according to what? Good quality and care also as well, right? You don't want to rent it out and then it's endangering someone else's life, that kind of thing, okay? So how much more so we should be very careful in how we build and how we serve God and how we contribute it, okay? You guys realize every one of us coming? I know sometimes people think, I just go to church and I just sit in the pew in the chair. But actually, I think all of us here, when we show up, we already change the place a lot, yes? Okay? We're just changing there just by our influence, just by being there. But that influence there is either good or what? Could be bad, okay? So I think that's important to realize. How do you go? How are you going to go help with the church, okay? Or building God's kingdom. Then Josh, could you read verses 11?
For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So he's saying here that everything must be based upon who? Jesus Christ. It's like a building foundation, right? It's what makes it stable. So everything is built upon what? Jesus Christ. Elsewhere later, so I know it says in the bottom, but it shows it's important. Other parts in the Bible talks about Jesus Christ like the head. Like if we're the church, we're like the body. Who's our head? It's Jesus Christ, right? Who's our leader? But here, why is it says foundation? Is to say that's what causes everything to be what? Stable. When the storm comes, when the wind comes, and all of that, okay? So here, or the rain comes, I mean. So here you see is very, very important. So we must be careful by making sure it's based upon what? Christ. We're talking about and pointing people to who? Jesus Christ, okay? Verses 12, Paul, could you read verses 12?
Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw.
Okay, we'll stop there real quick, okay? Some of these items are mentioned as different things that are mentioned of how you what? Build the things, build a building, okay? I actually think what he's talking about here, if you look at the word, is most houses built on built by gold?
No.
Is most houses built with silver?
No.
Maybe precious stone, you might say some would say, but this is talking about stones that people wear, okay? Wood, hay, all that. I think when he's talking about all this is, remember, if you look at verses 16, it says we are the temple of God. That is, it's talking about the church is the temple of God. And by the way, in the temple in Israel, the temple before was made out of gold, silver, and precious stone. That was a big ingredient. Today's world, people could build things very fast. Yes? I'm hearing in China, they're building a hospital in less than a week, right? It's incredible. But back then, do you think that people built things faster then or slower compared to today's world? Much slower, okay? And then if you think about building a big temple, would it take, how long would you guys think? Actually, you guys ever look at, like YouTube videos or documentary of like those or maybe you guys been to Europe, you've seen those amazing castles, like, Notre Dame, you know, and it just got burned down, the one in
France,
okay, Paris. You know how long it took them to build that? Was it 5 years? 10 years?
50 years.
No. So it was hundreds of years. Hundreds of years, okay? Because everything was much slower. They don't have the technology. So sometimes when you build something, you don't actually see it finished. So in building all that, it takes a long time. So remember, he's talking about a temple being built. So it's not talking about building a house, okay? So even the temple in Jerusalem, it took how long? Many decades, okay? Many decades. So the person that began building it, he might not finish, he might die and retire before it's finished. So I think that's important to realize when we build in a church, whatever we do, sometimes we don't see the result right then and right away, right? Even I feel like in our church, the reason why we could afford a building, you know, our church was able to pay off the mortgage for the building, and we get to enjoy it now. We don't have to worry for my generation in the English side. We don't worry about it because why? Those people 30 years ago, when they first started, they're the ones that what? Put it into that thing. Oh, we will pay for the mortgage. Does that make sense? So same thing when we build in the church. I think we must think even beyond just this lifetime. Sometimes we get so impatient thinking, oh, how come I don't see people change right away? And sometimes it takes what? People is sinful and people change. And you and I are slow in change. So we need to also realize how to be very what? Patient, okay? So then going back on, it says you should have the right material. And I think the right building material for the church, it must be based upon God's word, okay? You guys ever hear the story of the three little pigs?
Oh, yeah, three little pigs and the wolf.
Yeah, you guys ever hear the story of the three little pigs and the wolf? What is the story of the three little pigs about? Poor piggy? Is that what you said? Did you say poor piggy? Okay. So would you guys tell me the story? The poor three little pigs?
I don't remember.
Okay. There are three little pigs. They all build a house. And there's a wolf that wants to what?
Eat them.
One pig made a house out of what?
Sticks.
Sticks. Another made out of?
No, straw sticks.
Straw, sticks. And the third one is made out of brick, okay? So when the wolf comes over to the first one that is made out of straw, he says, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow you away. So he blows really hard, and guess what happened in the house?
It
blows away. Then that little pig runs over, or depending on different version, the fairy tale, right? Some says he's eaten already, and then or other nicer version, he runs over to the other pig's house with a stick. And then the other pig says, oh, you can't come in. You know, I built this house. And then the wolf says what? I'll hop and I'll puff and I'll blow you away. So he blows, and what happened to the house? All gone, okay? Then all two pigs run to the last pig's house in the brick house. And is that pig able to go in? Wolf able to go in?
No.
No, okay. So in that same way, when you see here, what kind of material you build is important, okay? Are you following God's instruction? But also look at verses 13. It says now God is going to test. Okay, so different than the agriculture image, is now it's going to say, this is one difference, is that he's now saying that God's going to what? Test whether or not all that we do is going to be pleasing to him. Verses 13, Nancy, could you read that? Oh, wait, where do we stop off at? Paul, you already read, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Nancy, could you read verse 13?
Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is.
Yeah, okay. So fire will test that, okay? So it's, if a house is made out of wood, what will happen to it?
It'll burn,
okay. You guys ever hear people say, like, you know, Americans, we have the Christmas tree? Like, if you get a real one, do you guys ever hear people say it's very dangerous to be very careful with fire, right? Because apparently the pine inside is actually a chemical that is very flammable. Yeah, last week I met with Jin. I went over to Jin's house to visit him, to see how he's doing. And he had a pine tree that he found on the street. And he, you know, Jin really likes having, like, at night time in his backyard, he likes to light, you know, like a fireplace. So we put it in, and you know what we found out? Wow, a pine tree burns so powerfully. I can't imagine the whole forest, right? It burns so brightly compared to regular wood. Like, because all the fumes, all the chemical right in there, just boom, it's just like, whoa. And it was so bright. I'm so glad Jin at first wanted to put the whole tree in all at once. He said, no, that's dangerous. Then he chopped it. And we were like, whoa, just a little bit at a time. So right? So I think I was going to say this. If you're going to build a church out of hay and straw, will there be much left over?
No.
Okay. So each one of us will be tested with how we built this. And by the way, I think the analogy is what are these materials comes from? It comes from whether or not you're doing things by the Bible. Okay? Doing things God's way instead of our way. Okay? Verses 14. Caleb, could you read verse 14?
14. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward.
Okay. Yeah, so here it shows, it doesn't want to just scare you, oh, everything will be burned, okay? But here, verses 14 says, if it survived, don't forget, just like the same part, when we're doing farming for God as a church, we will get a reward. Here it reminds us too, whatever remains, we will be rewarded, okay? Then verses 15. Josh, could you read that?
If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself received it so as through fire.
Yeah. So here this verse teaches us that when he says you'll suffer loss, that doesn't mean you go to hell, okay? But he's saying, hey, you'll still be saved. You guys see that? You'll still be saved. But it's also going to be what? If it's not based upon God's word, it's also not going to count for your rewards, okay? This verse, by the way, you know there are Catholics. You guys know Catholics sometimes believe things that are a little different than the Bible? Oh, not a little, quite a bit sometimes. Some Catholics, you guys know they don't believe in only heaven and hell. I think the Bible teaches only heaven and hell. They have a third category.
Purgatory?
Yeah, purgatory. Have you heard of purgatory before, Paul? Okay. So they believe that, the people that are not that good, they go in the fire for a little bit. The Catholics that are not as good, so then the fire suffer a little bit and then they leave. But I think this verse doesn't support it, because here is what is being burned up. Is it you being burned up? Is it people being burned up, or is it the things you build? Yeah. The things that you're building, okay? So it's not you yourself, because it says what? You'll be saved right through the fire. Okay? You'll be saved. So it's not us. And the second thing I also don't think it's teaching about purgatory is also saying what God's leader, real believers that are serving with that. Okay, so usually Catholic would say, oh no, the priest is definitely not in purgatory, but here it's saying, hey, no, it's those that are serving leaders also as well. Okay, so I think here is to say that, hey, you want to build everything that lasts, right? You want to build everything that's meaningful. So the best way to be meaningful is do things with God's way, with God's word. Okay, Josh, you had a question.
I think the hospital manager that I work under and I'm volunteering, he's Catholic.
Okay, yeah. So we love them, right? We lovingly tell them the truth also as well, okay, over time with things, okay? So, yeah, even if there's disagreement, you know, we always, as Christians, need to be, what, polite and respectful with that, okay? And in verse 16, do you not know you're a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you, okay? This is to remind us that we need to handle things, what, with care, okay? With the things of God in the church. The church is not perfect. How do I know? I'm the pastor of the church. I know I'm not perfect. By the way, if there's a church that's perfect, I would always recommend you to not join. Because why? You will ruin it, okay? If there's such thing as a perfect church, because we're all sinful, right? So the church is not perfect, but at the same time, I think it's important to realize the church is what? Is belongs to God. And we need to handle it and build it with care. I feel like I've been in the church since 2001, since I've been 18, since I was just a graduate high school coming to this church. I love this church. If I were not to be a pastor, if I pick a church and I was not a pastor, I'll still pick the church I'm at right now. I feel like almost like marriage. Actually, I think the church prepared me more for marriage than anything else, because I felt like I learned to love difficult people. I learned to love people of different age, different backgrounds, you know, even if they're different, being patient and all that. Or being challenged also as well, and people correcting me and living that life in the church. So I think part of me is realizing, hey, the church is something precious to God, and I think that prepared a lot for my own life, even with dealing with difficult people in the military or whatever. It was just realizing, hey, loving the church and saying I'm going to still stay and be faithful. Okay, so I want to encourage you guys with this, that we serve God, be faithful, be humble, be encouraged that you'll be rewarded. Be also warned that you want to be faithful with the Bible and about center on Christ, knowing that, you know, you'll be tested, but also realize you are also part of the temple of God as well. Okay. Let me stop at this point.